Good morning to everyone. It's a blessing to see everyone here. Blessing to see the visitors here. Thank you for coming. Blessing us in that way. How about we all stand and we'll pray together? Let's bow our heads. Our dear Father in heaven, thank you for your love this morning. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come together like this and worship you and be encouraged. Father, we're reminded this morning of the many, many blessings that we have. Probably none of us slept in a car last night. And we realize in this world we live in, there's many troubled souls and we're very blessed in many, many ways. Thank you for the encouragement that we already received. Help us to draw nigh unto you. Father, I just pray that you would minister to our hearts here today in this part of the service. Lord, I just pray that you would take the few words that I have to say and anoint them to be a blessing to our lives. May we receive the encouragement that is needed this morning. Father, may your word become alive and may you be glorified. We look to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Well, I feel that we have been encouraged already by being here. Thank you for all that was said. Victor, thank you for what you shared about coming to God in our weakness. I feel like that's a good introduction to the things that I would like to share here this morning. I appreciate that. I appreciate the thoughts Ephraim shared about the end of our lives, to be singing Jubilati. And you know, I was actually thinking about that this morning. You know, what really matters in life is where we end up at the end of our life, does it not? Paul was able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. He had finished his course. And he knew there was a crown laid up for him. And not only for him, but all them. That love is appearing. So that's encouraging. You know, we were here Friday evening at our couples night, and we left to go home. My wife and I are a bit exhausted from all the planning that went into couples night. It was a blessing. It was rich to be there. And I was on my way out to the vehicle, and I was notified by one of the children. Somebody came out to me and said, hey, call your children. They want you to come home right away. I'm supposed to call them right away and come home right away. Some sort of a problem at home, which, of course, we hit the panic button a little bit and called right away. And I knew that one of our dogs was expecting puppies, and somehow I miscalculated things. I thought the due date was on Monday, and I thought we had time, yet even though things were half decent there and the dog said where the dog is, I found out that one of these dogs had two puppies, and Mom and Dad needed to come home right away. It was a very cold night. And, of course, these are fairly pricey dogs that we're concerned about, and so we hurried home. And anyway, that was the start of an interesting journey this weekend because we were a bit unprepared for this, and we raised dogs quite a number of years ago, and I guess we got a little rusty at things and weren't as prepared as we should have been. And so I had knew that we were a bit exhausted from couples night, and I had all these great intentions of going home, getting a good night of sleep. I was going to get and have some preparation time where I could think on Saturday. And that was the interesting start of a journey. My wife was so gracious, and she spent most of the night up, so I didn't have to, watching this thing. And the children did their part. We had some challenges yesterday working through it. We were all hoping for a big litter of these dogs, and it ended up being a rather small litter, but that was the way it was, and that was okay. And so anyway, it was a bit of an interesting day relating to that and the rest of the story. Maybe I'll tell at the end of my sharing here, but anyway, it was part of the journey. So if we could turn this morning to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, and it was some time ago I shared out of Hebrews 12, I think it was verses 1, 2, and 3, and I remembered at that time, I really, it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, I think, and I thought at some time I want to continue my way through Hebrews, and so that's what I intend to do this morning, that's where I intended to go. Focusing largely this morning on verses 3 through 11. And I think we're going to go ahead and read it at this time. I'll read starting at verse 1, but then we'll focus from 3 on through 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had the fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I think I'll read verse 12 yet. Wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down in the feeble knees, in verse 13 yet, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I would like to say this morning that I believe the Lord has so designed it that chastisement would be a necessary element or ingredient that God would use as a result of the fallen state of mankind. As I referred to, the situation that happened to us here over the weekend was a reminder of that. And I believe that chastisement begins at a very early age in life. Proverbs 29:15 says, The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, I appreciate the emphasis that was already, the reminder here this morning of our couples night. We talked about courageous couples, and in our courageous couples evening, we talked of, you know, we heard a lot of different things that various couples have faced and the results of that. And it was reminders of us how God, I believe, in his wisdom knows how to bring the right kind of things into our lives for the right purpose. And I believe that is something that begins even in the life of a child at a very young age, as we see in this chapter. I believe it does. The older I get, the more I realize that difficulty and pain and those kind of things that are much less than desirable are a very important ingredient that God uses in the lives of his children. And it starts at a very young age. And it's one of those things that how can a loving God use those kind of things to, as the scripture says that we just read, actually makes us holy. He does those kind of things to produce holiness in our lives. It seems so backwards to our natural way of thinking. So this morning, I think as we already realize and would have known here in Hebrews 12, it refers to a lot of chastisement. And if you look at the word chastisement, some of the Greek meanings to chastisement here is discipline or punishment or to educate or to instruct. But this morning, as we go through this passage and look at the various different things relating to this subject, I'd like to think even beyond that to training, to being yielded, to being surrendered and submission. Laying down our lives and those kind of things as we think of this subject of chastisement and how God knows how to bring these things into our lives and uses it, I believe, for his glory. And so this morning, as we're considering this passage, and usually when I read over this particular portion of scripture in Hebrews 12, I'm reminded every time I read it of course, we think of child training. And then we think of as adults of God using these kind of things to perfect his will in our lives. Matthew 18:3 says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." And that's a question I'd like to ask us this morning. Have each one of us, you and I, become as that little child? Unless we become as that little child, come to Christ like that and be converted, it says we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And there's something so beautiful about the heart of a child, just having that surrendered heart when we come to God. Chastisement and surrender. Surrender, I believe, in the life of a child is such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing to see the heart of an innocent little child and that will broken and a surrendered heart. Children like that are so pleasant to be around. And is it not any different with God's children? To be with a group of people with surrendered hearts is such a blessing to be around those kind of people. I believe it reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. And even Jesus so beautifully modeled that in saying in Luke 22:42, he's saying, "Father, if thou will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus Christ so beautifully models to us this morning the blessing of that yielded, surrendered heart. But we as fallen creatures, I believe God knows how to bring those things into our lives. And I'd like to this morning give to share with you of a happening that happened recently in our home that just blessed me immensely. And this morning, I'd like if we could get a lesson from one of my little grandsons. It's a number of weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, one of our children came home for the weekend or something. They were there for several days. And we ended up keeping the two little boys. Their mom and dad had to do a little traveling or whatever it was. They had to go someplace. And we were there around the house that particular morning. And their youngest son, we appreciate all our grandchildren, as I think grandparents usually do, and just love them and all that kind of thing. And so we're there, and this particular little fellow, now our children live a bit of a distance, all of them, so when they come home, it's such a blessing, and it takes probably a little more effort than if our grandchildren would live right close to, you know, them to know us and us to know them that we'd like to. And this little fellow here, I like to put, you know, takes a little effort when you don't see him for a while that, you know, grandpa's good, grandpa's safe, and all those kind of things, and he likes books. And I really make up with him. It's very typical of him when we're together there. He'll bring books to me and sit on grandpa's lap and we read a book and all that. And his little heart's around mine and my heart around his. And feeling pretty pleased with myself that I won this little fellow's heart. Well, this particular morning they're there. Their two boys are there. And I don't remember where I was at, what I was doing. I was sitting there somewhere and my wife was wherever about there in the house. And all of a sudden there gave a ruckus and a commotion there at the house that identified very clearly that there's a problem. Somehow there was a pretty sharp conflict developed between these two little boys, and my little friend had a need. He had a pretty serious need in his heart, and it was a problem. And my wife, she comes to me and she says, "Honey, are you going to take care of this?" And right away, Grandpa's thinking, "No, I'm out of that stage. This is not me anymore. Not me." And she reminds me, and of course I'm thinking, yeah, I know exactly what their mom and dad would want us to do, but I worked so hard to get this little fellow's heart, and now I'm going to destroy it. You know, that was my natural thinking. Well, needless to say, I did what needed to be done. And we went back to the closet, and we took care of that need. And, you know, it was such a blessing to me. I'm thinking, what is this little fella, his grandpa, how is he going to relate to this? But, you know, it was so interesting to me, and it was such a blessing. It was within minutes after that, he is coming back up to grandpa's lap, such a yielded, such a surrendered, such a beautiful heart with another book. And we sat there and read a book, and I was just smiling and feeling so warm inside. And, you know, it was another reminder to me that God's way works. God's way works. As much as it contradicts our natural way of thinking, it works. It works. And it was such a blessing to me. Well, you know, this morning I'm not necessarily planning on talking about child training, but that is now obviously a part of what we see in this scripture here. But, you know, it's just a reminder to us, and the reason I tell that story, you know, that little fella had no idea. That little fella had no idea how this thing works. That would be my point. This little fellow has no idea really how this thing works and what it is that brought his little heart into such a yielded, subjected place. He doesn't understand that. And isn't that a lot of how it is in our lives with the things that God allows to come our way? Sometimes big things, sometimes small things that we don't understand and we wonder why. And yet God in His foreknowledge, He knows what we need to make us holy. As the scripture says here in verse 10, I think it is. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit that we might be partakers of His holiness. You know, I believe God, He knows how to do that, bring those things into our lives to make us what He wants us to be. The reason for chastisement, as I said, it is for our profit. Verse 10. That we might be partakers of His holiness. I'd like to think just a little bit about that. You know, we especially businessmen, understand the whole idea of profits. You know, if we run a business, we want profit. We don't want to run a business if it's not profitable. And He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. The Lord knows what to bring our way to benefit us in our spiritual journey. Now I'd like to look a little bit at verse 3 here. It says, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Scripture says we should consider Him. I think we already heard that this morning. Consider Him who endured such great contradiction of sinners, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Isaiah 53:5 says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. You know, Jesus endured, He endured a much greater chastisement than any of us ever have. And yet He was perfect. He was bruised for our iniquities, the righteous for the unrighteous. Jesus so beautifully modeled it. And that's who we should consider. It says, consider Him that endured such great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest we be wearied and faint in your mind. You know, even Jesus was very accustomed to pain. He was. New King James Version says, consider Him who endured such hostility for sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, I know the Lord, even in this congregation here, has asked us at times to face situations that we'd rather not face. Some of you are in very painful journeys, and we recognize that. You know, this morning, when Brother Harold said about people that in California that are sleeping in cars, I'm thinking, you know, some of the things that I view as difficulties in my life, somehow they're not near as difficult when I think of some of the things that we face in life. But you know, it's good for us to consider Him who endured such great contradiction of sinners, as He was the righteous. He was, and what He did there, should consider Him, lest we become weary and faint. Consider that when life is hard for us, it does us good to look at Calvary. It does us good to look at the Garden of Gethsemane and realize the greatest battle that was ever fought there, I believe, was fought in prayer when we face hard things. The things of this life will grow amazingly dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, one of my points here that I'd like to look at, or things that I'd like to look at related to this chapter, is the importance of being secure in God's love and acceptance. Verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And it actually says, He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. That scourging, now I don't always know how to look at that, but it speaks of pain. It speaks of pain. And I know there's a physical pain, and I know there's an emotional pain, and there's those kind of pains that we at times experience. But I believe when we can rest secure in Christ's love, I believe then it's when we can walk those difficult journeys that we heard about some on Friday night. And many of us here would have stories to tell of those journeys. But I believe when we find ourselves secure in that love is when we can face those things. And I'd like to think a little bit, referring back to my grandson. What was it that caused him to be able to come back to me with a book several minutes after that little fellow had pain inflicted to him, but he came right back to Grandpa again? And I believe it's because he was secure and he knew that Grandpa loved him. He knew that Grandpa loved him. He knew that Grandpa loved him. Caden lives far away from Grandpa's house, but when I'm around, he's my friend. He's secure in that love and can handle that pain. Thinking of painful journeys, I'll never forget the moment when my wife and I headed down to see my brother minutes after we got word that his wife was tragically killed in a lawnmower accident. I remember walking into Mom and Dad's porch and seeing my brother sitting there on the chair. The dead body of his wife was not many feet away. The pain. But I believe it's in those moments when we're secure in our walk with Christ that we can handle those kind of journeys. I believe that with all my heart. And I would even have to say that, you know, I think through this whole journey with my brother, I've gotten to know him better. I've got to know him better. And I see some of what it's doing in his own heart. Of course, nobody would ever wish for anything like that. But when those kind of difficult situations broadside us, I believe when we're secure in God's love, those are the kind of painful things that God will journey with us. Being secure in God's love. And you know, the reason that my little grandson, Caden, knows that Grandpa loves him is because of the time that I spend. And I guess that's one of the challenges I would like to give to all of us. How much time do we spend in this book? How much time do we spend in this book, reading this book, and understanding the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for us? When we understand God's love and live in the reality of God's love, I believe is when we can face those things. And we thank God that we can. I'd like to just comment just a little bit about the child training thought. Not that I'm going to reflect a lot on that. But there are two essentials that I believe with all of my heart. When we humble ourselves and come to God on His terms, He receives us. And He knows how to inflict the right amount of chastisement to be perfectly good for us. And oftentimes that involves people, just as a side note. But I believe when we clearly articulate to our children that they are received into our family as dear children and are so glad that we're so glad to have them part of our family, I believe that is the basis and the platform that we have to, maybe I shouldn't use this word, but inflict the right amount of pain or chastisement or punishment or discipline or training or requiring surrender or submission into the lives of our children when they are secure and understand that love. And I would have to say, even though at 52 years old, I think my wife and I would both testify that we're over the hump and we're starting to decline in our energy. And in a lot of ways, you know, our youngest child is now a teenager. But I would have to say it was such a joy to my heart seeing that little fellow's response. That part of my heart said, wow, I'd just love to do it again. I'd love to do it again. You know, it's such a beautiful thing. It actually works. It actually works. And I guess I'm just sharing this little piece to give encouragement, especially to the younger families in this congregation, to love your children, to love your children, to love your wife, to love each other, and to love your children. I know I've heard it from several of you already, you know, some of the concerns and fears about raising a family, but I'd like to just boost that this morning in your heart. It's really not that complicated. It really isn't that. It's complicated, but it's not complicated. But to love your children, and I'm going to speak a little bit from my own heart. One of the hardest things as parents often is, and I know it's been for me, is just simply to say no. to say no. It's very hard. It's hard for us adults sometimes to say no. Years ago, I heard a message one time. It was titled to be, it was encouragement to fathers to be men of steel and to be men of velvet. And basically, you probably get the point related to that. You know, men sometimes, and parents, but especially men I'm thinking of, maybe because I'm a man, but you know, may God give us the discernment how to be a man sometimes of velvet. You know, kind, loving, and yet when we need to step up to the plate and be a man that has made decisions and simply knows how to say no. May God give us the discernment and ability to do that. And I believe when those two can come together, it's such a blessing. And I believe that's what brings security to families. So I'd just like to give that encouragement this morning. I think that's all I'll say as it relates to that. The degree of God's love for us should not be measured by the hard things we go through. Verse 7 says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. There should be a lot of encouragement for us in that phrase. I realize it's very easy for us, maybe especially for younger Christians, to look at some of the hard things we face and somehow measure God's love for us based on those hard things. But this scripture here says, who the Lord loves, he chastens. He inflicts pain sometimes. He instructs. And it actually says in verse 8, if ye be without chastisement, whereof are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And that actually means, just simply means an illegitimate child. If we're a legitimate child of God and we're walking with God, then God wants to disciple us and wants to teach us and bring those things into our lives. And so we should be very careful in measuring the difficult things we go through based on whether or not God loves us. I think we have to be careful with that. Sometimes God is simply sovereign. Sometimes it's simply God's sovereign hand in things that we don't know and understand. And I'd like to give an example of that. I believe it's 2 weeks ago I received a phone call from a friend and brother. And he was so happy and so excited. He said, "I just want to let you know what God did to one of my children." He talked of an anointing and a healing of his daughter that had endometriosis. And we were a couple days away from flying to Colorado for our third one. And you know, there was just that part of me in my heart just went, "Lord, why?" I think most of you can identify with those kind of things. I rejoiced with the brother. I left him, "No, I'm so happy. Praise the Lord." But something in my heart said, "Lord, why?" Because I knew the heart of my daughter. And I knew her faith and her trust and her desire and her longings. And yet it was different. And then Friday night on our way to couples night, we stopped at down here at Goods to pick something up. And here was Earl Fox in the driveway. And then he came over and we talked. And due to an earlier conversation, he knew we were going out there for a surgery. And then he just said, "By the way, to let you know," he said, my niece just had a surgery like that." And then I remembered, because my wife had told me that Harvey Fox's daughter, I think, was out in California about the same time that my daughter was there for her second surgery, or had her second surgery, her first surgery out there. I remembered that. And I also remembered that after that surgery, their report was it was cancerous. And Harvey reminded me there that today she has cancer throughout her whole body. And you know, we have to process those things. How do we process those things? One gets totally healed, another one does surgery, and another one has a cancer-ridden body. How do we process those things? And those are just things that all of us, as God's children, are called to process from time to time. May we be able to trust God's sovereign hand when we face those realities. You know, I don't think we're going to turn there, but you know, Job is such an incredible example of enduring chastening. And we read the book of Job and we get the picture. We see what took place. We see the meeting that Satan had with God. And we see all those kind of things that Job did not see. And you know, in a moment, he realizes his material blessings and his material things, and it's all gone. It was his wealth, his children, and then it was his health. And then it was his wife who said, curse God and die. And there was Job. In all that, he maintained his integrity. You know, things we just don't understand. And we don't see those things from God's perspective, usually. We just see them from our earthly perspective. And it leaves us raising the question, why? But here's one of the things that I'd like for us to be considering this morning. What if it's not so much about healing? And it's not so much, as we heard from Brother Victor, about our strength. Maybe it's not so much about that. But maybe it's about holiness. Maybe it's about God wanting to make us holy. Because that's what we see in this scripture, that we might be partakers of His holiness. You know, you probably heard already, there was a couple's night, actually. I'm not sure when it was, but I remember the theme. Maybe it was a marriage seminar or something like that. It was, I don't remember the exact phrase or the wording, but it was, what if this marriage isn't to make me happy, but to make me holy? That was the theme for a couple's night. It's an interesting one. I'd like to look at an example of David in 1 Samuel 30, if you would turn there. 1 Samuel 30. David is an example to us in this one, I feel. David, we could call it in his great loss. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and his people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So we see there in verse 5 that David lost his wives. That speaks of pain. And we see in verse 6, his followers spake of stoning him. Does that not speak of pain? Can you imagine leaders having your followers speaking of stoning you? What does David do in verse 6? He says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, sometimes when we face those kind of difficulties, that's all we can do, is encourage our souls in the Lord our God. And we shouldn't say that's all we could do, but that is where we go. That's where David went. He encouraged himself. And then following in verse 8, it says, David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? And so David inquires, and David does what he can. And you know, when we face some of those things, may we let David be an example where he encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and then he did what he could. And when we face those difficulties where God has a sovereign act of some time, where we encourage ourselves in the Lord and do what we can, may that be our encouragement there. And then I'd also like to look just a bit at the life of Moses to receive some encouragement. And you can turn to Numbers 20. There are times when it's our wrong choices that bring chastisement that we can hardly forgive ourselves. I wonder if any of you ever felt that way. I know I have. There are times where we do things or we make mistakes that we have a hard time dealing with the reality of what has happened. And we face difficulty in accepting that. And Moses is an example of that in Numbers chapter 20, if you would turn there. Numbers 20. We're going to look at Moses and his journey where Moses made his mistake, Numbers 20 and verse 8. I'm in Exodus, no wonder. Numbers 20 and verse 8 is where God instructed Moses to take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he was commanded, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch water out of the rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Now, just an interesting note here, you know, we look at Moses. He didn't obey God and he smote the rock. But I did find it interesting, you know, and it's no excuse, but for Moses, I believe he probably was facing a real stressful situation here, because in verse 1 it says that he lost his wife. Miriam died there. And then he has the people chiding because their lack of water. And then he makes this mistake. And we know the consequences that Moses received as a result of the mistake that he made and was not able to enter into the promised land. And so Moses majorly messed up there. Now I'd like to look at Deuteronomy yet, chapter 4 and verse 21 through 23. Deuteronomy 4, 21 through 23. And I just think there's something to be said of Moses here that maybe can give us some encouragement. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me, he says, for your sakes, and swear that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go into the promised land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan. But ye shall go over and possess the land. Take heed to yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you graven images or the likeness of anything that is in which the Lord thy God hath forbidden. Anyway, I feel like Moses is an example of us here, that despite his mistake, despite his sin, despite what has happened, still Moses, I believe, was able to give encouragement to the people to go and possess the land. He knew that there was a consequence, there was a reality. He realized, I believe, he made this terrible mistake. In fact, if we go to the latter part of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 34, we won't turn there, but that is where Moses went to the place where he could look at the land and he could see all that. But Moses died there and was not able to go in and possess the land. Yet, I believe, somehow Moses was able to work through the mistake that he made and didn't carry that all of his life. But he was able to even encourage others to go on and possess the good land, even though he had a price to pay for his error. And I just say that to give us some encouragement, because I know sometimes it is that way when we face difficulties as a result of our sin or as a result of something that happened. And we can repent of it and we can be clear of it. And yet I see sometimes young people just struggle with the fact of forgiving themselves. I realize that as a part of my own journey, and I would just like to give us some encouragement here to let Moses be an example to us. Despite some of those difficulties that come our way as a result of choices that we maybe have made in life, that we can find grace to go on despite that. That's my encouragement as it relates to that. Not to let past failures get us down to where we can't go on as a result of God's chastening, because it can bring chastening our way, as it did for Moses here. We can be secure in Christ despite of those things that happened. I'd like to talk just about a little bit about idealism, because it's often those that have more of an idealistic view or outlook on life that struggle with some of those things. I believe it's good to have, you know, ideals, high ideals in life, but I think we have to be careful with our high ideals that we set them too high, and then we have a hard time just living with the real realities in life. I remember as a young Christian, my wife and I had shared it with Isaac here last Sunday, and not to go into details, but I remember very clearly after my wife and I committed our lives to the Lord on a Sunday morning, that Monday morning when I went to work, I had a terrible failure. I had such an ideal. I knew I was born again. I knew my life changed. I knew things were going to be different. And I had some bad habits and some old things that I needed to work out of my life. And I had an ideal view of life, and it was going to be different. And in a weak moment, the day after I committed my life to the Lord, I failed. And I failed miserably. And I still remember the shame and the horror. And I remember the difficulty of working through that. And for, I don't know, it was weeks, months, I'm not sure if it was years, I struggled. I struggled. Was that conversion actually real? Was it genuine because of that failure there? Because of that failure. And I think those things can be real if we're too idealistic. I'd like to talk just a little bit of life when life feels unfair. Consider him that endured such great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. You know, life isn't fair. I guess I did speak a good bit about that. This is where I was going to go with that. You know, the most unfair act that ever happened in life was when the righteous died for the unrighteous. Referring now to some of the difficulties come our way sometimes when life doesn't seem fair. But, you know, recently it came to my attention, you know, we can be thankful that life isn't fair. Because if life would be fair, Jesus Christ would have never died for sinners. Because that was the most unfair act that ever happened. And so may the Lord help us to get past that one. It can become a real danger to us. And we can be weary and faint in our minds. So may God help us in our journey. I'd like to just speak a little practically yet. And I don't know if the Lord will help me to put my heart into words, the things that are in my heart this morning into words. The cause and effect. You know, I'd just like to really give encouragement, especially to young people here this morning. You know, God sees the big picture of life. God sees the big picture of life. And I believe God knows how to chastise. God knows how to bring correction. I'll say it this way. I believe there are many times where moms and dads that understand and see the big picture a whole lot better than what a young person does. And they admonish and make appeals. Maybe make some rules and perimeters for their home that are for our good because of the bigger picture they see. Bigger than your picture or view of life. Not because they're better than you. They are looking out of a different window than you. And I'd just like to give encouragement to children and young people this morning. You can choose to embrace. You can choose to yield. You can choose to surrender. You can choose to submit. Or you can disregard the advice. And you can skirt around it. It's your choice. And you know, I believe there's a loving Father in heaven that knows how to bring the right kind of situations into your life. To bring you back. I see it many times. But I also see where there are many a time where young people go down a road where it's very, very difficult to come back. And God is a just God and knows how to bring that kind of chastisement. And I know there's many examples of grown men and women with incredible regrets they didn't open their heart to the advice of mom and dad or the church, but instead had formulated a better way. Be honest, I have some of those regrets myself. As I understand the character and nature of God, He will bring you back. That's if we don't go too far. And if it's not too late, oftentimes it's with a whole lot less than desirable consequences than if there would have been that yielded heart. And I'd just like to give encouragement to young people this morning in that way, as it relates to the subject of chastisement. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Instruction is good for us. Sometimes it may feel like nitpicking, but it may be for our good. If a brother's meeting decision is made, it may be for our good. A church leader's admonishment may be for our good. Furthermore, we've had the fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? We all want to live, and we all want to have that abundant Christian life. I feel it all comes together in that verse, if we want to have life. Now I realize young people are finding their way, and I realize it's very, very important as a young person to establish your own convictions. And I appreciate that a lot. I think that's so important to see young people establish their convictions and to become rooted and grounded. And I encourage that. I encourage that in young people. But I also encourage young people to always recognize the window they're looking out. And I feel a little disqualified to be sharing that up here, maybe as a parent, because we make many mistakes. Many times we do. But I believe parents look out of a bit of a different window. And so I just want to give that encouragement. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. New King James says, for they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best for them, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. I'd just like to conclude now. I found this saying the other day and I actually added a few things to it. Actually, it was in someone's status. It says it this way. Life is hard. Choose your hard. Marriage is hard. Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your hard. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your hard. Communication is hard. Not to communicate is hard. Choose your hard. To surrender to God is hard. To hold out is hard. Choose your hard. Submission to authority is hard. To resist authority is hard. Choose your hard. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard. But you can choose your hard. Choose wisely. And God's grace will be a blessing to your life. And I'd just like to say this. I don't feel like I did a real good job of articulating my heart as it relates to young people and the window parents look out and the window children look out. But young person, mom and dad's instructions sometimes will likely be hard. But choose your heart. Choose your heart. You know, I'd just like to say this yet. You know, I may have said it before here. I'm not sure. But this past year, we as a family, I think it was 9 or 10 funerals that we attended since, I believe it was March or April, with my brother-in-law, close relatives. Of course, one was Brother Mose, it was 2 uncles, it was a brother-in-law, it was a sister-in-law. An incredible amount of funerals. But you know, we can face them kind of obstacles in the fear and grace of God and choose our heart. Of course it's hard. Of course it's difficult. But when we look at that through the reality of God and eternal realities and find grace, those things can be a blessing. We need to choose our heart. Well, I'd like to finish my little story in closing here of our situation that developed this weekend with our dog situation. Obviously, we had quite a challenging day yesterday. We were unprepared for it. And since they were the pricey dogs they were. We had invested a lot of time in trying to get these puppies going and everything, and we ended up, because of the cold weather outside, I didn't have quite the heat system in my barn, I should have, so we ended up bringing these the mother dog and the puppies into our house in our basement where it was warm, and we were watching them closely because of the situation, and so the children agreed to get up a few times in the night and care for them last night, and so there was a few different intervals there, and it was, I didn't get the greatest of sleep last night because I had my ears tuned to what was happening down in the basement. And it was about 2 o'clock this morning, my daughter came up, and here the dog jumped out and destroyed the sofa, and I don't know, it just had a mess down in the basement, so it was frustrating. So it was 2 a.m. I said, well, you can go back to bed. I think it's going to be all right. We'll worry about this mess in the morning. I went back to try to get some sleep again. And after a while, I heard another commotion in the basement, and I went down there, and I couldn't believe the horrific mess that dog made. I guess a dog has post-labor pains or something, and she was walking around. And by now, she did her business in various places on the floor in the basement. And my wife's wonderful pull-out sofa bed was literally destroyed. She pulled that thing apart, and my wife was recently gifted a beautiful blanket, which was from a friend, which was her favorite blanket. The dog totally disintegrated and destroyed that. And so I go down, I'm welcomed by this mess in my basement, and anyway, my wife come down and joined me. And so last night before we went to bed, I was considering moving the dog and the puppies and everything out to the barn and just making the best of it out there. But I thought, well, you know what, we'll let them down here for the night yet just to make sure everything's going to be okay, and I'll take care of putting them out there in the morning. Well, now it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and my wife and I have to choose our heart. What are we going to do about our situation? The children were sound asleep. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and we have a terrible mess in the basement, and we have squealing puppies and a dog that's just made a terrible mess of things. And so we get our coats and boots on, and in the middle of the night, we're carting dogs, puppies out to the dog shed, and we're getting the barn warm out there and doing everything we had to do. But it's in those kind of situations where we have to choose our heart. The easiest thing for me to do would have been have the natural reaction that comes and just simply get angry. And then I would have to deal with that hard. Or we can look to God and we can get a hold of grace and we can do what needs to happen. And I feel like God helped us to do that. And so for the next hour or two, we were busy doing that. And then my wife came in and sat down on the sofa in the early hours of the morning. And you know how it can be. I think most of you couples probably do in those kind of moments. It can be just a little stressful. So I sat down and I held her hand and she said, Happy Valentine's Day. And so we chose our heart. So that's my encouragement to us this morning. When God's loving hand brings those kind of realities into our life, let's choose our heart. God bless you.
Amen. Appreciate that message very much. How will we respond to the difficulties, chastisements that God brings into our lives? It is our choice. We can choose our heart. And if we will yield to God's chastening, the path that He chooses for us, He gives us His promise that it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness if we will allow ourselves to be exercised by it. That's my desire, to allow God to work in me what He wants. Appreciate your testimony and how God has worked some of these things in your life, brother. And I trust that's the case for others here too. I appreciate that thought that God is more concerned about our holiness than about our happiness. You know, there's such a sentiment today that God wants us to be happy. And so many things are justified with that. Surely God doesn't want me to continue in this miserable marriage. He wants me to be happy, so I'll bring the divorce to get out of it. That's not God's heart. Now, He does desire our blessing. He cares about us because He loves us. But just as a child, His heart is humbled, softened, and turned towards His parent through proper discipline. So God allows difficult things in our lives in order to turn our hearts towards Him. I praise God for that. Praise God for how He's worked that in my life. I trust He will yet more in the future. All right, well, we have some time here. So if anyone has some further thoughts, response to the message, raise your hand. Someone will get a microphone to you. James up here.
I would argue that God wants us to be both happy and holy. But if we strive to be happy, we won't necessarily be most holy. Mm-hmm. But if we strive to be holy, we will be happy.
Amen.
So I think He wants both for us. But let's strive to be holy, and then we'll also be happy.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brian.
Yeah, I'd say amen to it. A message like this out of Hebrews 12 is just so pertinent and applicable to everybody here today, I'm sure. The part that I think I'll go away with is choose your heart. And it's so true. Proverbs tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. But it's also very obvious that the way of the cross is hard. Mm-hmm. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It's a little hard for me to relate to that because I have so many blessings that I wouldn't have outside of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I just have to acknowledge that, yeah, my life hasn't been as hard as a Christian as many other people in other times has been. But I will say this, that the hard of the Christian life is made a lot easier in that looking through the lens of the Bible makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. And when we have a difficulty in life and it makes no sense whatsoever, that really adds to the hardness of it. I'm not saying that every difficulty in the Christian life makes sense, but in a way it does. When you look at God being in heaven, God seeing the big picture, God knowing it all, and chastening us for our good. We don't have to decide how the chastening should happen or what the end of it's going to be. When we are in difficulty, just be resigned to God. I'll accept your chastening. And I want to be made holier through it. The parable of the sower, that group of seeds that fell on the stony ground and grew quickly, they were very happy. If they would have human feelings, they were very happy. They received it with joy and they grew. But then the hard times came. And Jesus said it's like those that choose the way of the Lord very happily, but I think they're just hoping that it's going to be nice and easy and everything's going to be good now and my problems are fixed. And then they realize that not necessarily that way. Hardships still come and they get offended. That it would be very difficult, if those plants could think, it would be totally senseless for them to wish for the good old days to just be stored away in a little seed packet in a nice cool closet. It's not going to happen. And the same way for us, we can't go back. It's always in our best interest, just like for those plants, embrace both the sun and the rain, embrace it and go forward. Withering up and dying is never the answer. So I can say all that, not knowing what tomorrow might hold. But we know as God's children that He has our good in mind, and that makes it so much easier.
Amen. Thank you for that. Yes, Ian.
Thank you, Brother Brian, for the message. It was very encouraging. I have to think of some experiences the past while where I work. Just life seemed to be difficult, seemed to be hard. And I realized maybe I'm not spending enough time on my knees or something like that. And one day when life was seemingly very hard, everything that could go wrong was going wrong, I started praying. I said, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And I had that thought. I had the thought that, you know what? He wants to teach me and grow, help me to grow in this. I shouldn't be discouraged. I should be encouraged and should look to Him through this. And so I started doing that. And it's been a great encouragement. I have to think of the Pablo Yoder stories when they were robbed constantly. And how he said that it didn't, most people would have thought it would have driven their family apart and made a life difficult for them. But instead they drew together. They drew closer to each other and closer to God. It was a time of drawing near to God. And I realize it's a very good encouragement for us in these days. When things around us seem to be falling apart, we can draw closer to God, and that's what it should be doing to us. Thank you.
Amen. Brother Ken.
Thank you, Brother Brian, for sharing this morning. I think the thing that's going to stick with me from this is to choose your heart. So, Lord bless you for that.
James.
Just want to bless you, Brother Brian, for your labors in the Word and your willingness to share your heart. I really felt a connection to your story there of being up and the frustration of not being able to get enough of sleep. But I really think that your experience and our experiences in life, I think we can look to a principle in Scripture that for a word of encouragement. And as you were speaking there, one verse came into mind there in Isaiah. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And that was spoken in light of John the Baptist ministry, but I think that applies. When we make a mistake, God can work in our lives and make those crooked places straight and make those rough planes smooth again. Mm-hmm. And I just think that each one of us, whatever our circumstances are, whatever hard things we're facing, we can look to that as an encouragement. And I just want to bless you, brother, for bringing a message that's just very, very real. Thank you.
In the back? Yes, Harry.
Brother Brian, I want to thank you, too, for the message there. And, Brian, I've known you for quite a few years. And as you began your story there about your puppies and, began to expound on that, what was running through my mind is, Brian, I know you're a practical man. And, you brought those puppies in the house, which... I do know your wife is not real keen on animals in the house. And, you as a family, you went through a lot, to nurture those puppies, do what you had to do to bring it in. But, I think knowing you're a practical man, the one thing that was in the back of your mind the whole time is the fact that these puppies are really valuable. And we got to do everything we can to save these puppies, to preserve these puppies. Now, if these were just, mutts from some stray dog that you picked up off the street, your enthusiasm might not have been quite as high. Or even worse yet, if it was, maybe the family cat or something like that, you wouldn't have been near as encouraged to do what you had to do to preserve these puppies. And it just, my thoughts right away went to, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where it speaks about, Christ, for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross and the shame and everything that went with that. He wasn't focusing on the current, what we look at as, the chastisement or, Christ, bearing our sins on the cross. He was looking ahead to once again being joined, intimately in fellowship with the Father. And I think that's, you know, for each one of us, that it's what we, you know, it's why we choose the hard. It's why we accept the chastisement, you know, knowing that, you know, we have a joy that's set before us as well. God bless you, Brian.
We've been richly fed this morning, as so often, and I'm blessed to have been here. I appreciated, Brian, your practical illustrations, and I think you drove your point home well there at the end with choose your hard. So well said. Life is a choice, and we've all heard the cliche that difficulties and struggles will either make you better or they're going to make you bitter. That's very true, even though it's often said in a kind of trite way. But that choose your hard is the key to that. And I also thought about what Brother Harold shared in the beginning about intentionality and drawing close to Christ. And as Brother Brian was sharing, I realized there's a distinct connection here, because in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And I've meditated on those verses often, but they came to my mind again this morning as I reflected on everything God was giving us here. Brian said that a man unjustly suffering and dying for somebody else is the height of that kind of suffering. And I think that's the picture Paul's giving us there in Philippians. And when we think of choosing our hard, we don't like to think of suffering. That's not something that we willingly engage in a positive way usually. We want to get out of suffering. We want to end the suffering. We like to live in the power of his resurrection, which is victory and triumph. But I would propose, and I know from my own experience and the testimonies of others as well, that some of that intentional drawing close to God happens in those valleys of suffering and affliction that cannot happen any other way. And so are we willing to choose our hard and embrace suffering in a way that can make us draw close to God? God will not waste pain, but it takes our intentional choice to engage on our part in those things. So I deeply appreciate the challenges laid before us this morning. Thank you, brothers.
Yeah, amen. I know that's been my testimony. You know, some of the most difficult times in my life is when God has been the closest, I think, as far as or sensing his presence in a real way. Is there a hand over here?
Okay, it's confession time. When Harold shared about people sleeping in their car, I was convicted. Because I confess I was very annoyed at that dog when I saw the sofa this morning and my blanket. And I am so blessed. We have a warm house. We have vehicles. We have freezers full of food. And it was just a couch that was destroyed. So thank you, Harold, for helping me put things in perspective again and for sharing. And I also wanted to say thank you to each of you that have prayed for our family and the time of over Joel's surgery, those that blessed Brian and the children back home with meals. It just meant so much to us, and we're grateful for a safe trip home, and it's just great to be back with you all again.
Brother Victor?
Those of you who haven't dealt with animals or bred dogs or delivered kittens or puppies or pulled out calves, you can rejoice in the fact that you made the easier choice of your heart. You've heard just the tip of the iceberg of what some people experience in their lives. If you ever see a good breeder and look at his head and see some gray hairs, you can count those hairs and see how many puppies they've delivered over their lives. You know, I've often heard that we got to work smart and not hard. You know what? Regardless of what you choose in life, it's going to be hard. There are difficulties and everywhere. But I would like to challenge us that when we have to choose our hards, that we choose smart, that we don't choose hard. And to support my saying with scripture, I want to read Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can only judge how difficult the experience is after you've completed that experience. You can only judge how difficult the journey is after you've completed your journey. You can make assumptions ahead of time, but it's only after you complete that task or that journey will you know for sure how difficult or how easy it was. And you know, you can just look around, talk to people that are nearing the completion of their journey walking with Christ, and you will quickly discover that the journey was hard, but it was worth it. And in comparison to that, you can talk to the people that are completing their journey of an ungodly life, and you will discover without any shadow of a doubt that that journey was not only difficult, but it was not worth it. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You choose that route, and in the end, based on all research you can do, this is truth. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yes, amen. I think that is something that we need to consider, and that's why that little saying ended with "make your choices wisely," because even though they're both hard, one is much harder, and it may not be hard right now. And that's the deception of it. And we're tempted to make the easier choice now because we don't think about how hard it's going to be in the end of that choice. And that reminds me of this verse, this testimony of Moses, just a few verses prior to our text this morning, where he says in Hebrews 11:25, how that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So he saw down the road. He recognized that it's going to be hard, the choices he made now, but he saw that the end was going to be so much better. And that is what faith does. It takes faith to see that. But faith or no faith, the reality is still the same. So maybe make the choice to choose the hard thing now, knowing that it'll be much better. Brother Harold.
Brother Brian, there's something real special came out of your message this morning. Number one, I know you and your heart better than I ever did, and I love you better than I ever did because I understand you. And bringing together a special thought from last week from Brother Carl's message, and the fact that it's so easy to be wearing masks. We're not talking about the COVID ID at all, but wearing masks as people, not being our real selves. And then I thought about our brothers' meeting again where that was mentioned. And I do believe that God wants us not to be naively sharing our life in a way that wouldn't be helpful to others, but on the other hand, to be real people, because that's who we really are. So bless you, dear Brother Brian, and may that be special to all of us. May we learn to love each other better, to know each other better, and to be more useful in the kingdom.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.